Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your eternal word, a word that many people have tried to destroy over the centuries, but your word that you have protected. Help us, Lord, to hold it near and dear to our hearts as we read it and meditate upon it and live it out in our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There was once a woman who passed away and went to heaven. But when she arrived at the pearly gates, she found Peter standing there. She was ready to walk right in, but Peter said, excuse me, but before you can come in, you have to spell a word. What word? She asked. Any word, he said. L-O-V-E, love, she said. That's great, said Peter. Come on in. But I was wondering if you would do me a quick favor, he asked. Could you stand here for just a few minutes, and if anyone comes along, just follow the same procedure with them. Well, Peter left, and after a little while, guess who came up to the pearly gates? It was the woman's husband. What are you doing here, she asked. He says, wow, I just had a heart attack, he said. I can't believe that I even made it here. Well, you're not in yet, she said. You have to spell a word first. What word? She thought about it, and after a few moments, she said, Czechoslovakia. Now, I don't know where the story originates that St. Peter stands at the pearly gates and asks us questions to get into heaven, because we all know there's only one way to get into heaven, right? And I believe that it will be Jesus who will be the first one to meet us there. But that story is about words and how important they are. And it is Jesus' focus on the Word of God that we'll be looking at this morning. In fact, today we're going to be looking at a conversation that Jesus had with a governmental official that led to a miracle in his life. This man went to Jesus when he had a crisis in his life, and he heard the words of Jesus, which is important for us to pay attention to, because the reality is that we all face crisis in our life from time to time. And at those times, we also need to hear from God. I'm going to break this story down into three parts, or three principles, to make it easy for those taking notes, to show us how to hear from God when those storms of life really hit hard. And the first principle is that we need to focus on listening to God. This royal official had come to Jesus. Why? Because his son was close to death. That, in my mind, is a crisis. And he was looking for a miracle. But as Jesus showed him, instead of looking for miracles, we first need to see and hear what God is saying to us. I'm sure we've all heard the saying that seeing is believing. But what Jesus shows us in this encounter is that hearing is also believing. Very often when troubles hit, when we're looking for miracles, when in fact God wants us to be listening to his word instead of looking for the manifestations. After the official came to Jesus in a great time of need, asking for a miracle, Jesus said to him in verse 48, "Must I do miraculous signs and wonders before you people will believe in me?" You know, Jesus always shoots from the hip. And his question is aimed directly at this man's expectations. At first, this royal official thought Jesus had to travel all the way back to Capernaum with him, which would have been a distance of around 30 kilometers over the Judean hills. No big deal for us today. We just jump in our cars and drive there in a little while. But back then, that was a long way to walk. This royal official believed that Jesus had to physically touch his son in order to heal him. But Jesus wanted to know if the man would have to see a miracle in order to believe in him, or would this man take Jesus at his word? Would he hear and believe, or did he have to see to believe? I think it's important that this question that Jesus presented was plural. He said, "Must I do miraculous signs and wonders before you people will believe in me?" He was speaking to more than just this one individual. He was speaking to people everywhere, including us. There was sadness in Jesus' voice. He was sad because of the spiritual condition of his own people, specifically the citizens of Galilee where he had grown up. We know this because of something else the Bible reveals to us. Just before this conversation between Jesus and the official, we are told that after 2 days, Jesus left for Galilee. Now, Jesus knew from experience that a prophet is never respected in the place where he grew up. So when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, but only because they were impressed with what he had done in Jerusalem during the Passover feast. They didn't really know who he was or what his mission was. Although Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, he grew up in Nazareth in Galilee. And here he returns to his hometown, and he's quite aware of the barrier that he needs to cross in order to get his people, these people, to believe in him. They were the ones who had watched him grow up. And during all of those years, Jesus hadn't performed a single miracle. And we know the reason for that is because the Bible tells us that his time had not yet come. This fact was mentioned by John concerning Jesus' first miracle. And he mentions it 7 times altogether in his gospel accounts. Up until that time, in the eyes of those who knew him, Jesus was just the son of a carpenter and not the son of God. When Jesus was growing up, he made a purpose of living in a way that he wouldn't be noticed. He lived just like an ordinary person. So the Galileans didn't understand who Jesus really was. And that is like so many people today. They dismiss Jesus because they don't really know him. But this story is really all about getting to know the Lord. Not just getting something from him. It's about hearing from him in a crisis. But many of the Jewish people thought, and many people today think, that the only way that they could ever hear from God was through a sign or through a miracle. The Apostle Paul stated it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 to 23, when he said, "Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it's foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all a bunch of nonsense." That's why Jesus made that question in the plural. People's failure to listen to God because they've already got their minds made up is a universal problem. Jesus was saying then, as he says to people today, "Must I do miraculous signs and wonders before you will believe in me? Must I fit into your mold? Must I conform to your expectations before you believe in me? Or will you believe in me because I say something is true? Will you believe my word?" This question doesn't imply that Jesus doesn't want to come and help us in our time of need. But it does stress the need to believe in him before our problems are solved, and not just after. So the question I think we all need to ask ourselves is this: will we follow him maybe if, or even if, we get the miracle we want or not? There are many miracles in the Bible before performed by Jesus, but only 7 of them are accounted in the Gospel of John. And perhaps that is to provide a sure foundation for our faith, a foundation that is based not on excessive miracles, but on the Word of God. The truth is I believe we miss a lot of the great work of God that He wants to do in our lives just because we're not paying close enough attention to His Word, the Bible. Jesus didn't have to travel to Capernaum with this official to heal his son. And the father didn't have to witness the miracle to believe in Jesus. If Jesus said it was going to happen, guess what? It was going to happen. So where does that leave us? It leaves us with the fact that we don't have to see it to believe it. All we have to do is hear God and believe it. If you read it in the Word of God, believe it, memorize it, meditate on it, and mold your life around it. The big problem, both then and now, is that most people are confused about what faith is really all about. Their concept is usually one of two extremes. One extreme says, I will believe only what I can see with my eyes. And that leads to being a superficial believer. That was the problem with the Galileans. They didn't truly know Jesus. They only knew about Jesus. And that is the condition in some believers' hearts today. They think they are Christians because they know all about Jesus. But nobody is a Christian until they truly know Jesus. Jesus wanted this man to have what he wants all of us to have. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants to be our friend. He wants us to truly know him. He wants us to have a relationship with him based on the fact that we have faith and that we believe in him. He wants us to know him, not just know about him and what he can do. The other extreme says, I will believe everything that I hear. But that's not true faith either. That's why John presented 7 sign miracles in his Good News account and stated that Jesus did many more signs and wonders that weren't even recorded in his book. There was plenty, absolutely plenty of evidence to support faith in Jesus. Overwhelming evidence, indisputable evidence. There's fulfilled prophecies, the harmony of the scriptures, changed lives, and yes, the miracles of Jesus, just to name a few. Faith is not saying goodbye to our common sense, but in a way it is coming to our senses. It is believing every word that Jesus speaks. It is believing every word of the Bible because it is God's word. This royal official believed in the word that Jesus spoke because he heard Jesus say it and not because he saw it. Verse 50 says, the man believed Jesus' word and started home. I think that all of us, me included, need to follow this man's example all the time. We need to live in the assurance that if God's word says it, then we can truly believe it. When we face a crisis, we need to look for what God wants to say to us, not just what we want him to do for us. After the Lord's resurrection, Thomas only believed when Jesus showed him the wounds upon his body. But do you remember how Jesus responded to that? We're told in John 20, 29 that Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. But blessed are those who haven't seen me, but believe anyway. So the first principle for hearing from God in a crisis is to focus on listening to God. Secondly, we need to follow God's word. First you focus, then you follow. This man in this encounter heard the word and he heeded the word. Jesus' response to the man's need was to say, I'm not going to give you a sign. I'll give you something else. I'll give you my word. I won't give you the property, but I will give you the deed to the property. As Christians, we haven't received all of our inheritance yet, but hopefully we have read the will. We don't need to look for miracles as much as we need to follow what we hear God say. When we are following God's instructions, we will have confidence in life. We will have encouragement in discouraging times, and we will have victory even when the circumstances around us spell defeat. We often think that we need the miracle in order to survive the crisis that we're going through. But Jesus taught us by his own example that that isn't true at all. After Jesus, the second Adam, had gone without food for 40 days in the wilderness, Satan came along and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, then turn these stones into loaves of bread." Satan was challenging Jesus to perform a miracle, but Jesus refused to fall for it. It is recorded in Matthew 4:4 that Jesus said to him, "No. The scriptures say people do not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Three times Satan tried to get Jesus to perform a miracle. Each time Satan tried to tempt him, and Jesus did not respond with a miracle, even though he certainly could have and he had the power to do so. Instead, what did he do? He responded with the word of God. Always follow the word of God. It's a vital spiritual principle. Remember the incident involving the Roman centurion who came to Jesus for the healing of one of his servants? It's in Matthew 8, chapter 8. The officer said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed." Several verses later, in verse 16, in the same chapter of the Bible, we read these words. "Many people with demons in them were brought before Jesus, and with only a word, he forced out the evil spirits and healed everybody who was sick." So we must ask ourselves, when we are facing a crisis in our lives, or at any other time, where is the power? Where are the resources when we need them? Well, the primary resource is the word of God. That's why Jesus commanded Mary of Bethany in Luke 10:39. Because there it says, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard what? His word. And that's precisely where we need to plant ourselves. One more example. Remember the time that Simon Peter and his fellow fishermen had spent all night fishing and hadn't caught a thing? Jesus came along and told him to row out into the deep water. Peter really didn't believe that there was any point or any use in continuing to try. But yet he said, "Lord, we've been fishing all night long without any results. We've been there. We've all been there. Frustrated, tired, aggravated, and no results." But Peter said to Jesus in Luke 5:5, "Nevertheless, I don't see the point, but at your word, I will let down the net." And the Bible tells us that they caught so many fish that their nets almost broke. God's help for you and God's help for me in any crisis that we might face is in his word. Everything in the Bible, the principles, the promises, the proofs, the teaching, the praise, the prayers, the preaching, the promptings, the prophecies, the proofs, and even the prohibitions are all needed in our lives. When we read, when we memorize, when we meditate and believe and obey the word of God, we will have more than enough help that we need in our time of crisis. So first, focus on listening to God's word. Second, follow God's word. And the third principle for hearing from God in a crisis is to find someone and to share that word. We're told in verse 53 that the officer and his entire household believed in Jesus. When we truly learn who Jesus is and what he is truly like, we will want to tell others all about him. You'll want to share the good news. This man went all the way home and shared Jesus with all of his family and friends, and we are told that they too became believers in Jesus. You know, Jesus could have gone to this man's home in Capernaum and healed his son in person. But this story fits right into God's even greater plan. Jesus commissioned those who have heard and believed the good news, his word, commissioned them to share it with others. In Mark 16, 15, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere." So this man came to Jesus in a time of crisis. He was looking for a miracle. But first, he listened to the word of God. He believed it. He followed it. He shared it. And his son was healed. And we are told that his whole household gave their lives to Jesus. And really, that was the greatest miracle of all.